It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
I'm chuckling as we get into this to think about Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast as well. Welcome to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Brought to you by our friends at McConnell Buick GMC. I'm Sean Sullivan. There's my friend, Captain Mike Ward.
How you doing, Sean?
Good. Good day to be in the studio and not offshore.
And it's a good day to work on your tackle.
That's right.
If you're behind on working on your tackle, greasing your reels and fixing snapper rigs and grouper rigs or whatever you're doing, king rigs, whatever it is, today is an awesome day. Or this weekend. And maybe Monday, too.
Yes. And, you know, this is the tough thing, too. This hits with Father's Day, Father's Hour of this weekend. This is a time that you could take a fishing trip both days.
That's right.
Right? I mean, you know, usually it's one
I do what I
week.
Want to on Father's Day.
That's right. So you take your normal dispensation for your one trip a week from Mama. Go take that. And then you come back at Father's Day, Sunday. And then, well, y'all know the story. Offshore.
Yes.
It is not pretty. But listen, a lot to talk about as it has. I don't know, are we considering ourselves at the halftime? Are we at the turn here for snapper season? Where are we? We'll talk about
it. We're at the very beginning, I'm sure.
With the director of Alabama Marine Resources, our friend Scott Bannon, joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Hey, guys. I heard the weather report for the weekend about boating, and it said this will be beverage weather.
Yeah.
Stay home and have a beverage.
I think you're right.
Okay, I got to ask you this.
And pizza weather.
Got to ask you this. So, will there, if we were, not the gambling's legal in the state of Alabama, but if the three of us men went to have some de minimis bet here that somebody would, there's going to be somebody register fish caught this weekend on the Snapper app through the Outdoor Alabama app, I would say no. Mike, what do you say?
I would say I wouldn't think so.
Okay, and the man that sees the numbers first, Director Bannon, what do you think?
I feel like you and I will have a conversation next week, and I will tell you how many people registered fish this weekend.
It's like 10-foot seas.
Somebody will do it, and I do not encourage that. I don't want people to do that. That's the advantage of having the state program. These are not lost days. They are just days that are delayed. The pounds are still there. So so please don't risk it. If you're it's just not a good idea. I think the weather's going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The pounds will remain the same. We are right around 480,000 pounds. We're just before halftime, to reference what you said earlier. And so that's good. The numbers are tracking very close to how they did last year. And
we're tracking close to where we were last year. But remind folks, if they weren't paying attention last year, we were at an accelerated pace last year.
We were. And so I was a little bit surprised, I guess, maybe to see how much effort was out there this year. And so I spent the opening weekend in both counties watching the effort, and then the next weekend at multiple boat ramps, kind of seeing what's going on, looking at when those landing reports are coming in. And it's interesting. People have they've changed their habits. Instead of everybody trying to get to the boat ramp at daylight and fighting the crowds and going offshore, the effort has really spread out across the days, Friday through Monday. Last Monday was a really good day. The weather was nice. And they're changing their times because, again, most people are not running, way offshore early in the season right now. They're running, a little bit offshore, grab a few fish, and coming back. So there's afternoon trips. There's evening trips. I think there's some more night trips because of the electronics now make it safer for people, and they have a little more comfort working offshore. So it's become a different habit for folks, but effort is still really good, and I think it's great.
You know, I thought this year would be really different because all the kids are playing ball now. They either, there's some kind of soccer or baseball or something going on. Vacations. People last year wasn't taking vacations. Nobody's playing ball. Nobody's doing anything hardly last year, but they were able to go fishing, and that's why the uptick was on that. So I really thought by now it really wouldn't be nowhere near as bad as it was last year, but I was wrong.
I didn't think so either, and I thought it would have been a little bit lower. But again, what we noticed was a little bit of change in habit. And even, you know, for you guys that have been offshore and you've seen it, that it didn't seem quite as crowded. And I talked to multiple fishermen who had that comment. And I said, and we've talked about that when you have these, just spastic fishing weekends, there's 20 boats on a spot,
yeah,
and you don't want to fish your spot nearby. But now people are learning, well, I'm just not going to go during peak time, and I'll have more opportunity. And I've talked to anglers, and that's what they're doing. The boat ramps have been full. The Fort Morgan boat ramp, I was there for a couple hours the Saturday that it opened, and there was continuously about 100 trailers there. And when I say that, like boats coming and going over the course of the day. So it was a very consistent, steady flow, and that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think they've just changed their habits.
I want to ask you about Fort Morgan. There's plenty of parking over there for all of that?
It is. It's there's a big grassy area there, and there's some piles of debris, and there's some areas that are blocked off due to construction because we're rebuilding the Fort Morgan fishing pier. And so it's actually a little bit reduced in some manners, but there's a lot of grassy area. So it's a nice, big, wide ramp, a great approach to it. It's super easily accessible to so many fishing spots. And if you're in Baldwin County and you know the parking challenges at Boggy Point and Cotton Bayou, that you drive those 20 extra miles and get a guaranteed parking spot and go a few miles offshore, I think people have learned that, and they're willing to make the drive so that they can park.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah,
they're able to do that.
I can imagine if somebody's not fishing due south or east out of the pass, and you're just as fast, or you're faster, probably coming out of Fort Morgan anyway.
Absolutely. And it's and if you want to come back in, catch a few redfish on the way,
mm-hmm,
it's a good opportunity. And it's again, it's just easy to get in and out of that ramp. The traffic flows really nice. They've been doing some construction on Fort Morgan Road, and I think that has dropped off for the summer. But as long as that's not in play, it's a very pleasant drive. It's a beautiful place out there. So I think it is worth the drive to go out there. And once we get the pier open and we get the parking lot cleaned up, it'll be even better.
On the grassy part, that's not sand traps when they park on the the grassy part?
No, it's pretty solid ground.
Okay.
On that, from the ramp moving toward the east, toward the little picnic area underneath the pine trees. That's pretty solid ground right there. So we haven't really seen people having any difficulty.
Well, that's good, because most time over there, you pull off the side of the road, you're there for a long time.
Hey, just joining us, talking to Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. Snapper season so far, so you see we're late in the second quarter, right in tonnage, to keep with this analogy.
Yes, I think we see this generally the big bump at the beginning of the season, and probably after this next weekend or two, it'll start to taper off a little bit because people, they had their opportunity to go. Like you said, there's been lots of ball tournaments and those things that are really starting to kick off, and 4th of July weekend is a big family weekend. And once we get into past June, the fishing kind of tapers off because we see the size drop a little bit because we've really fished that near shore area, 25 to 30 miles, pretty heavy. So the weight of the fish drops. It takes longer to catch your limit, and so it's kind of a natural progression. If you look at the graphs, they all graph over the last several years very similar. But last year and this year, you know, the effort was pretty high in the beginning, and the weights are higher in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I would think so. Me and John, I would say we're pretty average fishermen. I mean, maybe just a tad over average a little bit, maybe just a tad.
What?
But listen, I've been one weekend.
Oh, you're talking about
fourth weekend.
In ability,
you're
the top of the shelf.
No, but I'm just telling you, I've been snapper fishing one weekend.
And I've been
on
Saturday
and
Sunday, I've been two afternoons.
It. Yeah.
I went Memorial Day weekend. I've had work stuff and boats and this and that. And
so that's why I was kind of thinking, man, this, you know, wouldn't be as many reportings on the snapper, because I thought, well, we're kind of average.
But this,
you know,
weekend doesn't cost us, right? I mean, as we look at tonnage, if we were tracking, let's say we're tracking a certain pacing, and you're right. I mean, you've shown over time how it decreases, but let's say we're averaging. We basically are going to get another – I mean, there's another 4 days to add to this. I mean, I know, like you said, you believe the next week you will have a report from somebody. I just don't think it's a lot of somebodies that are going out there this weekend.
No. And we saw the same thing last year with some weather. And most years there's some weekend that it's kind of a bust. But But through the first two weekends, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, but I think we had 3,000 reports. You know, so you let's throw an average of four people per vessel. You know, that's 12,000 anglers. You know, so
yeah,
there are still a lot of people out there fishing, and that's just the reports. And then you apply the reporting rate, all those other factors in there. But again, I think it's a good season. I think it's good that people have those opportunities. And then we'll still have people that will come on vacation that get an opportunity to go. And some of the locals will be like, I've already been, so we're going to do X this weekend and not go fishing.
I don't understand those people, but I know they exist. Before we go to the break, and we'll come back and talk more about this, but anything from the showing there of the moons aligning, the stars aligning, where we could catch trigger, amberjack, and snapper on Memorial Day?
Well, you mean on Labor Day?
Yeah, no, Memorial Day when we could catch all three.
Well, we did, and I didn't, you know, I need to check the numbers on that, but most people really just went and grabbed their snapper and came back, and if they grabbed one of the other species, it was kind of just a bonus. They
like an incidental?
Really targeted.
Okay, so you didn't see, because, I mean, what we're talking about is, as y'all know, you have to use Snapper app, Outdoor Alabama app, to put in triggerfish and amberjack. I just wonder what those numbers look like when, because I mean that's something that I want. I don't know, but I love it when they're open concurrently because you already burned the gas to get out there. You know,
and our dockside surveys did not show that there were a tremendous number of each of those. It was, you know, a little bit of triggerfish, a few amberjack, but again, it was that trifecta weekend. I'd like to have more of those because I'm like you. I think if people have the opportunity, they'll take advantage of it.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. All right, coming back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Our guest, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. Ed, more to talk about on this boat ramp front, too. We got a project here for the, what was the name? The launch at ICW or something like that. It sounded like a condo. It's like the fanciest name I've ever heard for a boat launch. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more when we return. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you all along. Remember, check us out on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Put that outdoors on there.
Yep.
And I think what I'm going to bring back is our fishing photo contest. We did it on the other, like the main Facebook page last year.
Yeah.
But let's just, we'll put it up here in the next week or so on the FM Talk Outdoors Facebook page. And what you do is you post up your fishing picture. It could be recent, could be old. You know, usually the formula, fish and children. When you put your picture up and then you get the most number of likes on that picture, and then you win one of the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirts. So
I think that's awesome. And so, not only that, Sean, don't forget about the app that you have, 106.
What? I hadn't heard of
106.5
this.
106.5 app.
Do we have an
now,
app?
That's what I understand.
How many times have I talked? We're excited
about
it.
Well, you talk about it on the regular show, but you don't talk about it on the fishing show.
You're right.
Show.
So y'all check that out. Yeah, if you're somebody who hadn't heard me going on about it, we're very proud of it. The FM Talk 106.5 app available. If you're an Apple user, go to the iTunes store. If you're an Android user, go to Google Play and just type in FM Talk 106.5. Don't put a point between the 6 and 5 because it messes it up. Just go FMTALK 106.5. And we see our logo there. Download that. And take us with you wherever you go. A lot of cool features on there as well.
You got to remember, there's a lot of people that don't even know you own this station. Don't even know you do
the
any
bank,
other
the bank
don't
the
do
bank
any
owns
other
the
show. They don't. They only know you do this show. You got to think about them, Sean.
The bank on high bank. The bank owns the station. But one day. All right. Continue our conversation with Ed, the app. I love the app. So we will talk about that more. But we'll get that fishing photo contest cranked back up. Talking to Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. He's probably mad at me, though, talking about the fishing photo, because they're always, you know, getting great photos for the calendar. So it's a competition.
I was just going to mention that please tell your listeners, and I guess I'm telling them now, that send those photos to us, especially
after
you know,
us.
If you have a unique species, we use photos from our user groups, you know, to put into the calendar. We have a professional photographer on staff in Montgomery, but we have to bring him down here. I would much rather have local people take some great pictures of their family and their fishing trip. And I'm trying to move away from being a red snapper calendar. I want to highlight all the species available to us here. So
this year's is great. The variety, you know,
it is. Our staff they did a great job, and that was one of my task directions to them was to please let's highlight some other species. And it took some effort to find some pictures to do that, and we found some, but we would love to have them, or we'll use them on our Facebook page. We'll post pictures. You know, it's just kind of a fun opportunity to see yourself in social media.
Yeah. But they're not giving y'all a T-shirt. So, I mean,
send it to you to get the T-shirt, and then you got to forward it to me to get the potential to be in the calendar.
Well, we ought to be on the cover of the book.
Mike, you should be on the cover.
All of us that went fishing last year, we had a special species on there, Chuck Sykes.
Yeah.
That's true. But here's the challenge. That crowd looks much better on the radio.
Yeah. Right. I can't argue that.
Yeah, y'all can go. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put that picture up on the Facebook page as well. Y'all will see that, see what we're talking about. All right. If you missed the beginning of our conversation with Director Bannon, you said we're at 400 and how many
about
thousand
480,
tons?
480,000 pounds out of just over a million.
Okay, 480,000 pounds, just so kind of almost halfway there, but not quite. If he wasn't on the telephone, he'd throw something at me right now. Project it with what you know. Are we fishing for another? Because this weekend kind of a non-go. But are we 2 weeks? Let me say this. Do we get through Independence Day weekend?
So we've been through three weekends.
Uh-huh.
And we're at about the halfway point. So if you really lay it out as another three weekends, this one's not going to count for anything other than that one guy that's going to go.
Right.
We'll talk about him next week and or her.
Yes.
Yep.
So, you know, we're probably looking at another three full weekends to get there. It's probably going to be just short of the deep sea fishing rodeo, and I know that's a challenge. But and the amount of fish that are caught during the rodeo, you know, it's the nation's largest fishing tournament, so it's tremendous. And so I don't think we'll make it to the end, but I think you're going to potentially get the Roy Martin Young Anglers weekend in there. So we'll be talking here in the next few weeks. We'll be watching the numbers pretty closely. Again, the effort usually starts to die down a little bit at about this midway point, and the size drops a little bit. So the fervor has died down a little bit at this point.
Okay. So, I mean, we feel pretty good about making it through the Independence Day weekend, and then Roy Martin Young Anglers, maybe. They're 11th, 12th, somewhere in there.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Just
don't hold me to that.
Well, I know, but I just have to ask.
Where I think we're going. But I do want to be understanding, you know, to folks if they want to kind of have an idea. And if you go to OutdoorAlabama.com, we'll have just posted the last couple of weekends, last three weekends are on there. You can see the graph. And
where do you find that? Because I've talked about that too, and I'll get text here at the station, hey, man, I'm looking for that. So once you go to OutdoorAlabama.com, do you go to fishing or where do you go?
You want to go to saltwater fishing, and then you'll go to there's a snapper page, and you'll go to that snapper page, and that information is there.
Okay.
He's pulling it up right now.
All right, so y'all can check that out. So OutdoorAlabama.com, and then you go into the fishing tab, and underneath that you go to saltwater fishing, right?
Yes.
All right. So there we go. So that answers that question. You keep up to date. Now let's talk about a couple things here that I mentioned there with the triggerfish and the amberjack. You said it didn't look like that really. Do you think it's because people weren't? I mean, I got to ask you this. Do you think it's people weren't filling out their check for it, or you really don't think that they targeted it?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. This is the first year of mandatory reporting for those two species, so there was a little bit of that. But again, our dockside surveyors did not see a whole lot. So I think people were really just caught up in the excitement. They were going to go. If they had the opportunity to grab one of the other two species, they did, or if they lucked out and caught one. You know, amberjack, you got to target a little more. Triggerfish, especially to the east, sometimes you just get lucky while you're snapper fishing. And some people, to be honest with you, just don't know how to target those two species. So, you know, the red snapper, they're the Scott Bannons of the fishing world. They're big, dumb, and easy. So there doesn't take as much effort, whereas the others, you know, you need to change techniques a little bit and kind of concentrate some effort. And so I want people to have that that three-fish bag limit, the trifecta, as we called it, because I just like to see that. I like to see people happy, and personally, I'd rather eat triggerfish than any of the others.
It's
pretty darn good. By the way, too, as we talk about others, and I think about other snapper species, I'd like to know kind of what y'all are seeing on dockside for the other snapper species. We got to give a attaboy to our buddy Captain Bobby Apriscato. Now, people are like, wait, you're going to talk about inshore? So he was fished one of the Mondays, this last Monday. They were out there on that trip. They caught their snapper, caught really nice snapper. One red snapper, I think, 22 pounds.
Oh, man.
Good red snapper. And what gets me most fired up, and y'all are an 8-pound mangrove snapper.
Wow, that is a great mangrove. And I will tell you.
That's awesome.
That's a chunk.
It is. Know,
it's a requirement to have our Gulf Reef Fish endorsement, even if you're fishing for mangrove snapper and you're in, like, inside water.
Oh, but, gosh, that's the question. Yes, okay, thank you. Thank you, because this question was asked to me. Okay, so we're talking about mangrove. You know, usually it's not a conversation for red snapper, although I've caught, but they're juvenile, but red snapper in the Mobile River out in front of the dang convention center.
Yeah.
But mangrove snapper is something you catch inshore.
And you will catch them with fairly, with some regularity. And so if you're going to keep those, they are a reef fish. It's generally juveniles and smaller ones that you see in inside waters, but there are some legal size ones, especially like towards Perdido and that area. But you do have to have the Gulf Reef Fish endorsement. And our numbers for that are really good. They're well above where they were last year, which was the first year. So I'm very appreciative of the people purchasing that. And most people are pretty happy to do it because that money is going to be used to address reef fish fishing in some way, whether it's the research, whether it's the advertisement for things, whether it's some of the other activities related to that. It's specifically designed to address reef fish fishing.
Yeah, so when y'all see that when y'all have got your licenses, you'll see the Gulf Reef Fish endorsement we're talking about. But that's kind of an area I hadn't thought of until I was asked that question. So indeed, if somebody is, they got a hot speckled trout and redfish spot that, they pitch up near those pilings, they can catch them a legal mangrove. If you're going to be keeping those legal mangroves, you got to have even if you don't fish offshore, you got to have the Gulf Reef Fish endorsement to possess them.
That's correct. And a lot of our inshore fishing guides, they have that endorsement for that very reason. They don't want to pass up that opportunity to share that with a customer. And our for-hire season's gone pretty well too. It's just they're going until August. Again, it's been a little breezy some days, but a lot of tourists coming to the Gulf Coast right now. It's, I think 100% occupancy of available rooms. There's still some areas that are damaged and things, and dock space is a premium at the marinas, and there are a lot of people here on the Gulf Coast. And if you haven't driven on Dolphin Island and Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, you'll know.
So so the charter boats get to go to how long?
They'll go till August 3rd.
August 3rd, okay.
Straight through season for the for hire.
Yeah.
And I'll add to that when you mentioned it. This is something that when you come on Midday Mobile with me a lot, and we talk to the more diverse audience, is not just focused on the outdoors, I bring this up. But I think it's an important thing for people. Maybe they don't realize it, that fish all the time. The economic engine, you just said it, full occupancy, all the, what does it mean every day snapper season's open to the state?
So we've had the numbers thrown at us of nearly $1 million a day.
A day, y'all.
Yeah.
So it's an economic driver, and that's what, when I have discussions with people about what is the best way to establish a season, I'm not looking at it from a purely financial aspect. I'm looking at it as how do I provide the most access to the most people, because, locals, we want them to have a chance to go, but we want other people who come to Alabama to have this experience to do that, and that's why we do the four-day weekend, is that we spread that time out and let people all over the country that come here. And I talk to snowbirds. I talk to people on vacation. I enjoy seeing the smiles and the happiness of people who say, oh, yeah, we love to come here. We've started scheduling trips while snapper season is open so that they can come enjoy it. So it's a big economic driver, though.
All right. Coming right back, we can continue our conversation with Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources. Late in the second quarter, when it comes to snapper tonnage, that's where we are if you're keeping score, like Mike is, like I am.
Yep.
Yeah,
we are keeping score.
Be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our guest, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. I will take 1 second to go away from the water to the woods and just say, one silver lining to watching all this rain, is one person in this room's got his dove fields planted before the rain fell.
Yeah. Ha-ha. There might be ducks in your dove field this weekend.
That's true. That's probably true. All right, to continue our conversation about what's happening out there in the Gulf and in inshore waters with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. So we kind of get a projection on the snapper thing. I want to talk ramps a little bit. You mentioned it, kind of how you were at ramps on Dolphin Island in Fort Morgan, and you and Mike got into discussion of parking there. Let's talk about a brand new ramp that is in, what, within a year for us on the ICW?
The launch is
the launch at ICW.
Express, and when they had the big groundbreaking this week, the governor came down. There was, Senator Chris Elliott and the Baldwin County commissioners and the local mayors, all that were instrumental in trying to develop this piece of property and provide a desperately needed reprieve to the boat ramp situation in South Baldwin County. So the discussion is that the ramp area will be finished sometime in the spring of 2022, and I'm cheerleading for them that it's done before we get hot and heavy in the fishing season next year, because what do they say? Shoot up amongst us. We need some relief up here.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. You know, and I know I don't want you to comment on it. Don't want you to say anything, but I was looking at the aerial photo of that, and I just shook my head when I saw the aerial photo of the parking lot. That's all I'm going to say.
But you have said
trees and concrete curves in the parking lot with trailers, and that's all I'm going to say. Let's go to the next subject.
You have said in the past, though, finding a place to put ramps is not the challenge, right? It is the challenges, especially I think Dolphin Island. I'm a West Side guy, but the challenge is places to park.
It's the parking. In Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, we have that same challenge. In Boggy Point, people do a great job of pulling in, backing in, getting launched, but then they don't have anywhere to go. We're limited. We're hemmed in by the lack of property down there at the boat ramps we have. There's some environmental concerns at those areas. And so there's been this discussion that people won't want to drive those extra, it's 9 miles from where the launch is to the mouth of Perdido Pass. But that's protected waters. And if you're dragging your 35-foot triple-engine boat with your big truck, and one, you don't have to pay the toll, so don't tell them I said that. Turn off the before you get to the toll booth. You're going to have a guaranteed parking spot, and you don't have to deal with the traffic. And all you have to do is run your boat in protected waters for an extra 9 miles. I don't have that boat, but I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that's going to get
it means a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Let me ask you this about over there too. Now, I was thinking about this a while ago when we was talking about it in the break. Do they have some kind of security over there? Because that can be a nightmare.
So I don't know if they have plans for that. Now, under our port security grant programs, you know, we put cameras at some public access boat ramps. So maybe we can put in for that down the road. And those are, you know, we already have a system built to do that. So. So I don't know. That's an answer, a question that I don't have the answer to. But actually, the next time I talk to some of the county commissioners, I'll ask that. So that it is important for folks to know.
Very important, especially people that are going in and staying overnight. You know, that's parking their boat and trailer and going offshore, going bill fishing, whatever, spending the night out or whatever. That can make a huge difference.
It does. And but you know, you were talking about the. I believe the first phase is about 150 trailer parking spots. So that's. That's double what we have, but that's triple about what we have between Boggy Point and Cotton Bayou. So you think about the relief. And to the people that live on Marina Road and the other people that are trying to get to Cotton Bayou, the traffic is just such a challenge down there during these peak seasons that keeping those trucks and trailers off of those roads and out of those neighborhoods, I think there's a benefit to that too. So and those people are going to stop and buy gas and buy different things. You know, the marinas and all those other places, they're not going to suffer. There's, as we talked about, the amount of tourists and people that are coming down, our economy is doing pretty well from that aspect.
All right, can I talk another subject here? And people could follow along with a visual by going to Alabama Marine Resources on Facebook. But, you know, a favorite conversation of all of us is etiquette at the boat launch, and it's the etiquette of having
etiquette,
you know, telling people have your stuff ready, you know, when you go to put the boat in, have a system to be able to launch and take out, not, you know, sit there and tie up, you know, a ramp. But the other side of this is when you park your truck and trailer, or you just park a car in trailer parking. Can I just step back and let you take it, or what should we do here?
So,
one, tar, feather,
these pictures. We do tow a lot of vehicles and a lot of trailers because people are parking where they're not allowed to park. And
they're parking like they're drunk. I'm saying that. I'm looking at they're parking like they're...
And the reason we have to be so tough on that is because you will trap people in there or it leads to accidents. And also, I remind people, you know, don't park your car in trailer parking, and they're all marked at our ramps. They're all marked. And people say, well, where else am I going to park? And unfortunately, I don't have a good answer, but it is a
boat. But it's for boats. It's for trailers.
For launching and trailering a boat. So.
Yep.
It says it's for the trailer. Oh, my gosh, it's maddening. And then also, take some, this is my side rant. Take a little consideration when you park, depending on different launches, different places, but even, you know, my home base, Dolphin Island, if you're parking there along the grass or whatever, take some consideration in how you line that up to park it. To not mess up the net, because you'll see it. It's almost like when people can't park at Walmart, they screw up like four parking places. It's a chain reaction. And you see that when people are parking their trailers. Do right.
Yes.
Just
you
do right.
The memes, we'll back your trailer for beverages or for money.
Yeah.
It's the whole process, really. And so if people take a few minutes and be have your boat ready when you get to that ramp. And the other day, while I was having a conversation at a boat ramp, a vehicle who had already been on the side of the road for a few minutes, I thought preparing to launch, pulled up, blocked both lanes of traffic. The kids were getting out. They're getting their life jackets. They're not doing anything to prepare the boat. And I was cringing because I was afraid we were going to have to call a homicide unit, you know, if it continued much longer. So.
Well, I see it, too. I mean, I think the last time I was down at Dolphin Island, I pulled up to the ramp, and here's a guy blocking two ramps, and they out checking the motors on the back of the boat and getting stuff out of the boat and handing people. And I'm thinking, you're blocking two ramps, and you're getting all the stuff out. Go down the road about a, you know, 200 or 300 yards and pull off the side of the road.
And
that's where you
that,
do
right.
it. That's where we do it.
And I will give you some positive news. On the Mobile County side, you know, Baldwin County, we have the launch coming. On Mobile side, Little Billy Goat on Dolphin Island has some sport fish dollars and some Gamesa funds to redo their parking area and the approach and to do some dredging. By La Battery, we just recently put some mats down at the end of that ramp and rebuilt a new dock. So that's a temporary measure because within about 2 years, Mobile County will start on the City Docks project, and they will it's going to be a beautiful facility with a first-class boat ramp in the bayou. And right now, 50 or 60 trailers on a snapper weekend are leaving from our park there. Our Delta Port at West Fowl River, we just redid the parking there and added a tremendous number of parking spots, and people are using it. And so there are some positives in there. And again, I think about boat ramps every day. There's always something that we can try and do to make things better for folks. But we also need people to put a little effort into doing better.
Sometimes. And there's, you know, at the bayou, it's good to hear some, because there's space, you know, at that launch there at the bayou, it's, you've got some acreage there, you know, to work with. Just needs, you know, a little TLC.
Yes. We just made a temporary repair at the end of that ramp so that there's plenty of room to back a big trailer down and rebuild or built a new dock, a very safe and sturdy dock. And again, the Mobile County is managing the City Docks project for the city of Bala Battery, and it's going to be. You can go to their website and see that plan. They are going to have a top notch boating facility with ramps and lots of parking, easy to get in and out. It'll be a prize for the people of South Mobile County.
That's awesome. Yeah. Y'all hadn't even mentioned the new boxing rings going down there.
Oh, I did not know that. No. But maybe some of the folks from the boat ramp should end up.
This is going to be added. That's phase two, Mike.
Yeah, phase two.
That's phase two.
Okay. You're, that's coming in phase two.
Hey,
okay.
Before we run out of time, I do want to bring it inshore for a second and kind of see, is there a timeline? So with the changes to speckled trout regulations and changes to size, changes to creel, are there benchmarks that we're looking at where we're going to assess how that worked or didn't work?
I'd said before that we were going to look at about a three-year window before we take a look back, because it just takes some time for regulations to show whether or not there's improvement or not. But interestingly enough, and it may just be anecdotally or it may just be that people are excited, I've seen a lot more flounder pictures lately.
That's what I was getting ready to say, Scott. It's
just kind of an interesting thing, and I can't say whether or not that has anything to do with the changes, but hopefully as we look at over about a 3 to 4 year period, when we look back and we say, oh, it did look like it did some good, or if it stayed the same, that's probably good too, because if you're out on the inshore areas, you've noticed an increase in activity as well. So the number of people that are just participating in all aspects of fishing is tremendous.
It is indeed. All right, remind folks too, the app and once again the website where they can catch up with the snapper totals through the rest of the season.
So go to the Outdoor Alabama app, and you can do all of your things there. Buy your licenses. It stores your licenses. You can report your reef fish species there, as well as your deer and turkey for the other portions of the year if you participate in that. And go to OutdoorAlabama.com, saltwater fishing, and look under the snapper page, and you can see where we are in the season. So, and other than that, I just hope people, if they have beverages this weekend, please stay home, stay safe.
That's right.
And let's hope the water doesn't rise too much.
That's right. As always, we appreciate the conversations. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources. We're coming back to wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, brought to you by McConnell Buick GMC. Big thanks to them. Big thanks to Director Bannon for joining us as well. And
always informed.
And this is that weekend, like Mike told you, get your tackle in order.
Yep.
Do your service on the engines. And
if you can work on a boat that's not in the rain, time to work on the boat. If you haven't already got the switch fix that you've been going to fix for 3 weeks.
It's fine.
Or that pump that comes on every now and then.
It's fine. It'll be fine.
I mean, it's kind of like the boat that it was a diving boat. We actually saw the boat out in the Gulf. They were diving, and his bilge pump didn't work. It was like a 30-something foot kind of a cabin boat, but it was a dive boat out of Pascagoula.
Right.
And the bilge pump, they had too many people on the boat, too much gear, and the boat was sitting low, and water was coming in the scupper holes or whatever, and getting in the bilge, and the bilge pump didn't work. Now, that's bad.
Very bad.
I've got two bilge pumps. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I had 1,500 gallon an hour bilge pumps in there, which is normally, that suffices. That's fine. You got two of them. So if one goes bad, you got another one. But, I mean, I just got to thinking. I said, now, 1,500 gallons, that's a pretty good size. That's good. But I went and bought 3,700 gallon per hour bilge pumps.
They're like fire hose, fire hydrants.
But sometimes, you'll have some of those inlet intakes that come in. They sometimes snap off in rough weather or something. And you have a 2 or 3 inch hole in the bottom of your boat.
Yeah, how are you going to keep up with that? Yeah.
That's right. So, and the bilge pumps won't keep up with it, but you got to cover the hole, too. But anyway, that'd help to
what
have
that. What is
that
thing called? The cock valve?
Yeah, the cock valve. Intake valve.
That's something, by the way, and you know what? We can talk about this, because when we talked about different marine systems, like we talked about GPS and that inReach and all that,
yes.
I got more emails about that in our discussion. So, obviously, there's some interest in that stuff. You and I have talked about this. Is it Petcock? Hey, there's a term for it, but the intake valve. This is something you and I talked about years ago. When you all have through hole,
it's the saltwater seawater valve, intake valve.
When you have holes in your boat below the waterline, okay, even if it's plumbed out right, you need to have a way, if that is broken somewhere, to shut that thing off.
You do,
and that's something that does not often. Well, I don't know often. There's a lot of boats I've owned over the years that don't come like that from the factory.
Yeah. Well, what happens, too, I mean, I bought these big plugs. They're
cork thing.
They're kind of like corks, or they're pointed.
Uh-huh.
And different sizes for different size holes.
And I've done that, too. That's the poor man's version of this.
I've got two packs of them. So if you get out in the Gulf and you have one of those cockpits, one of those saltwater intakes break. And it has happened. That's happened to several friends of mine.
Go walk around your boat. Look at what's below the waterline.
Yes.
All those holes below the waterline. How are you going to, if that piping system that goes in there, going to a live well or something like that, or going to your washdown pump or something like that, if that broke, how would you keep the water out of your boat?
That's right. You got to think about that. And if your bilge pump is not working, then you could be sinking pretty quick. If you don't have anything to plug the hole with and your bilge pump's not working and you have 3-foot seas out there,
right,
you could be in serious trouble. If your bilge, if your drain plug, if you launched your boat and the drain plug was out, mm-hmm. you could get it on plane and get the water out of it. But if it's a hole coming through the bottom of your boat, the faster you go, the faster the water comes in.
That's right.
So there's no going fast and getting water out of there with no bilge.
Well
pump.
Said, because yeah. people think about it and like, oh, yeah, why you can run the water out of it? I've done that in a skiff a million times. Well, there's a different story.
You've done that.
Yes.
Yes. You've done that.
So have those plugs are a good thing. You can get those and have a little mallet or something in there to knock them in.
That's right.
You put those in. Those valves are very important, too, or, cut off. For that, something else, and for a bigger boat in a bigger situation, it may not be a fix for it, but something I have in my boats because they're cheap are those hand pumps.
Yeah.
You lift up, and it's – I carry them in duck boats when I'm hunting, in the wintertime. I carry in the small aluminum boats, and then I move them over to the bigger boat because in a situation, it may be something that helps keep it. Because those babies, you lift up on it, it'll push some water out.
Sure it will. Yeah, any kind of a pump. Anything.
And that,
problem is, you can't carry everything. You got to be careful.
That's why I have a cutting cabin, so
yeah.
you can.
I mean, it's just hard to yes. carry everything, but I try to think of everything. And I work on my boat continuously, Sean.
I mean,
it's every day or every other day I'm out working on my boat.
Yeah.
When I go fishing, I want to make sure that every time I push a switch, it works, whether it's the bilge pumps or the live wells or mm-hmm. the running lights or whatever it is, I want to make sure every one of those are working. You get offshore, it's just not time to do anything with it. And it's always working on your engines, too, changing oils and filters. And I see some people, they show pictures online, they can't figure out what the problem is, and they'll show pictures of their oil filter, and they say, you think I might need to change my oil filter? And the whole oil filter, you can't tell what it is. It's just a rust pile. And I'm thinking, how in the world is that thing even working? When's the last time they changed the oil filter on that engine? And I see engines that are just caked up with salt all inside the engines. And I guess people don't realize you take the cowling off when you've been out in the Gulf for 2 or 3 days and you got a salt
film. It's like a film.
Film built up in there. Take a water hose, a little soap water, wash it off, and then put some, they make special oils to put on there to keep it from caking up on all your nuts, bolts, screws, and wires, and everything else.
Y'all understand why Mike Ward's boat's the best-looking boat you've ever been in? It is
maintained. Well,
maintain. It's meticulous.
It's too expensive of a piece of equipment
not
to maintain it. Not to say that I still won't have problems sometimes, but I do try to cut it off ahead of time.
No, for sure on that. And, great ideas there for maintenance. Tough thing is, people have to take a time out to do that. This may be that weekend you get to take a time out and do that.
Yes.
When you're like, but I want to go fishing. I've been working all week. Well, this weekend's not going to be the weekend to do it. So you take that time out and do it. So, those are good things. Think about that on the bilge pump side. Think about it like we've talked about in the past, having stuff like the InReach system from Garmin.
Yes.
Obviously, EPIRBs.
EPIRBs. And also, a lot of your VHF radios have an SOS signal, too. It's got a switch on it.
If you run a little red cover on it.
A little red cover, yeah. So, all of those help if you get into trouble in the Gulf.
All right. We're out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. We'll do it all again next week for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. See you then.